China owns nearly $1.2 trillion of U.S. debt. No surprise, then, that it's a little concerned about a possible default.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. China's state-run news agency said today the U.S. is being, quote, kidnapped by dangerously irresponsible politics. That word comes as U.S. House leaders have pushed back until today a vote to cut the federal deficit while raising the debt ceiling. But Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz explains, despite its criticism, China just can't stop investing in the American economy.
China's the largest foreign holder of U.S. debt, and this is how it works. It buys debt through the purchase of U.S. Treasury bonds, and despite the doomsday worries in Washington, China has no plans to stop. The reason, says Tsinghua University economist Michael Pettis, can be boiled down to its currency, the renminbi.
They're buying foreign assets in order to keep down the price of the renminbi, and by keeping down the price of the renminbi, they ensure that they have a current account surplus.
Current account surplus is economist lingo for trade surplus. In layman's terms, China's huge holdings of U.S. debt help keep its currency artificially low. That, in turn, keeps China's exports really cheap, so cheap that foreigners keep buying them, and that keeps Chinese people employed. This is the formula China's economy has been based on for three decades, and Pettis says China's trapped. The country is now a full-fledged U.S. Treasury bond addict. If it wanted to kick its addiction, Pettis says, it would have to find another currency that would be able to soak up a huge amount of China's money. The only one out there is the euro. But look at Greece, Portugal, and Spain. They don't look stable either. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
With all the debt ceiling drama going on in the U.S., we figured we'd take you somewhere else for a moment, not Greece or Portugal or Ireland. But Egypt, 6 months after a popular revolution overthrew its dictator, the country's been selling its debt as a way to avert a crisis there. Reporter Julia Simons with us from Cairo with the latest on that. Good morning, Julia.
Morning.
So it seems like everyone else is having a debt crisis. Why not Egypt, right?
You know, this whole week, the National Bank of Egypt's been selling domestic treasury bills and bonds and so far $1 billion worth of T-bills and $500 million worth of T-bonds. And this is the first time since the revolution that the government's been selling bonds. With all the uncertainties, the government's just trying to figure out how to get through the fiscal year.
How bad is the Egyptian debt situation, Julia?
Foreign and domestic debt in Egypt is certainly a growing problem, but the primary concern is the significant budget deficit. Interesting thing, though, is last month they actually turned down a $3 billion loan from the IMF. But they have accepted some money from Gulf countries and from the U.S.
We're hearing of big protests again in central Cairo today. How's the political uncertainty affecting the Egyptian economy?
This week, the finance minister announced that foreign direct investment fell about 75% in the first quarter as compared to last year. Everything's very unpredictable here.
Reporter Julia Simon in Cairo. Julia, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are lower right now. Colgate-Palmolive reported 10% higher revenue last quarter thanks to better sales in South America. Wall Street yesterday, yeah, the Nasdaq gained a little, but the Dow lost again, 62 points to close at 12,302.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com. For a unique look at all of our Marketplace business and economic sustainability coverage, visit marketplace.org and click on the Sustainability tab.
Starbucks reported higher sales last quarter. Affluent Americans are still buying all those $4 double mocha lattes. A lot of people, regardless of income, are also eating at food trucks, especially in big cities. But a new business model has those food truck owners opening up sit-down restaurants. Tracy Samuelson reports.
Three chicken tacos and one chili slider. Okay, your total's $14.
For just under a year now, the popular food truck Mexi-Q has been serving up its blend of Mexican food and Southern barbecue all over New York City, from Midtown one day to Williamsburg, Brooklyn the next.
I think, you know, the truck is the most phenomenal marketing tool in the world. I mean, we could put this thing in the middle of Midtown on 55th and Park or 45th and 6th, and it could be very visible.
Dave Chalace is co-owner of Mexico. He says his bright orange truck has been a great way to test menu ideas and locations. And at $50,000, it costs far less than a full restaurant. But now Mexico is one of a growing number of food trucks across the country opening a brick-and-mortar restaurant. So why put down roots?
There's something that's always going wrong with the trucks. It's a complicated beast, the truck. And I think restaurants are just a more practical way to expand.
You don't have to worry about parking or weather, not to mention a cramped kitchen. David Weber is president of the New York City Food Truck Association. More than half the group's 27 truck owners are opening restaurants.
So I think that really speaks to the idea of the food truck as an incubator, as sort of a gateway to be a more stable part of the New York City culinary community.
So while food trucks are often talked about as a new disruptive business model, for most owners, they're more like a cautious first step. Schnitzel and Things started as a truck in 2009 and recently opened a Midtown restaurant. Here's owner Oleg Voss.
We moved into the restaurant because it was always part of the plan. I mean, we opened up the food truck with the intention of growing.
But that's not to say that food trucks will fade away. Both Schnitzel and Things and Mexico say they'll never give up the truck and the marketing power it packs. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And finally, a Lake County, Florida inmate found a way to take advantage of a glitch in the lockup's phone system. Inmate accounts are charged for calls and are refunded if a call doesn't go through. But the phone system was accidentally refunding twice as much money to inmate accounts. So Larry Stone started placing calls and hanging up and doing it over and over and over again until his account racked up more than $1,200, enough to post bond and get out of jail. When other inmates started doing the same thing, jail officials finally made the connection. And Stone was rearrested, by the way. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
As China grows economically, the environment hasn't exactly been the first thing on developers' minds.
The pattern in China has been to develop land, not to protect it.
Now some of the country's richest entrepreneurs are changing that pattern. I'm Jeremy Hobson, China's first private nature preserve. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.